Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
What thus saith the Lord? Do you have that scripture? Please put it on the screen and let's read. Isaiah 55. For as the heavens, can you see the S around that heavens? That heaven. Can you see the S? All right, just ignore it. I'm just trying to show you something, but ignore it. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, is it plural or one? What about the heavens? All right, but ignore it. You see, this is the way I read the Bible that is interesting. For you, you are just trying to tick the register that you have read. Sometimes some of you only read Psalms because there are prayer points in Psalms. You won't grow like that. You can't grow on prayer point alone. Hey, say amen. Amen. Please, are you people still happy with me? I need to be sure that you people are happy with me. If not, I will start reading Psalms now. You people will be happy. So if you need to allow me so that God won't sack me. I need to be able to tell you people. Should I be afraid to tell you the truth? God says, so are my ways higher than your ways. Wait. I heard a pastor who said, now that we are a new creation, the ways of God are our ways. Hallelujah. I said, yes, I agree. But it was written in black and white. God said, as I don't know if in physics they've been able to measure the distance from the earth to the sky. Do we have a measurement for that? Is there a measurement? Please check. Give me on Google, please. Google is your friend. I want to know, because if God is saying that these clouds I'm looking at, the distance from where the cloud is to where we are, is the way, the number of ways and method he has to fix any problem. Come on now. Are you here? The Lord said, my ways, the way I would have decided to fix anything, or the reason why I have decided this should be the way we should go. On my position and posture, body language, about any matter. The reason why everybody will say, this person should die. And God will say, no, mercy. That you will not understand. So, just look at it, that the distance. And in case some of you think, well, there's just it. Now, God is telling us that for basic science, because, you know, all our children in secondary school, they do basic science. That for their understanding, you have about 10,000 kilometers, the distance of about 10,000 kilometers, that measurement gives you an idea of how many diverse ways he has to fixing a problem. So if you take a kilometer per problem, that means God has at least 10,000 ways to fixing any problem. Come on, say amen. What that means is that problem cannot be so difficult. Now God will not say, hey, Michael, is there any other thing? What did we do before? Because these things like is somehow. Like, God will never be confused. Because it's just what this scripture is just being descriptive. This scripture is not limiting God. God is just trying to give you like a kind of idea that when you look at the sky from the ground and you see it so far away, that's how high his wisdom is. Are we together? He said, and my thoughts, above your thoughts, they are higher than your thoughts. Give me the next verse. Quickly. For as the rain comes down, still describing the previous verse. For as the rain comes down, And the snow from heaven, please, where does the rain come down from? From the heavens. In the previous verse, the Lord said, my ways are higher, descriptive of my ways are in the heavens. My thoughts are so high, they are high there, over there, high away in the heavens. And in the next verse, the word of God says, they come down as rain. Come on, are you with me now? That means when God wants to minister to you, he sends rain. Hallelujah. Those things come, they can come like drops. Sometimes it just looks like a small idea. But God is talking. Sometimes they come, they are very heavy. Sometimes they are like the snow. They are so, you know, it's so cold out there, you cannot even interact with that level of revelation. But it's God that is talking. God is trying to describe how his word, when it comes to us, interacts with us. Us being the earth. We are the earth. We are the ones receiving that which is being sent from heaven. That means within every Christian, within every believer, is the ability to receive God's word. Our DNA is not anti-God. Our DNA doesn't reject God. The reason why it seems that way is because we have not learned Christ. Now, that statement I just made is another Bible study. But for whatever it is worth, we will come back to it. Why is it that somebody can be with Jesus for so long? I'm talking about Philip. Please, are you with me? And Philip was asking Jesus, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. That means the average Jewish man, even though, like Philip, even though he was among those Jesus sent out and he casted out devils, somewhere in his mind, he knew that he could not determine that Jesus was more than a prophet if all he had was miracles. Please, come on now. Are you with me? Peter was among the apostles that God sent out. And he performed miracles. They laid hands and did many things. And they were happy when they came. Did Elijah perform miracles? Did Elisha perform miracles? Did Moses part the Red Sea? Did any of them claim to be God? So Jesus needs more than miracle. Please, are you with me? Are you blessed this morning? See the way I'm taking my time now. Philip and say, oh, Philip was close to God. Esther. Philip asked a question that was valid. Even Peter didn't think about it. Sir, we have seen the miracles. We've also performed miracles. But that is not enough reason to claim to be God. Show us the Father. We want to see something. And Jesus said, but it's not this miracle that is the main thing. What I expected you to have observed is that your being with me, you should have seen my level of intimacy with the Father. That's the main thing, not the miracles. You should have seen the way when I go up to pray and God's voice is not far from me. God is always instructing me. You can see the way he's opening the doors. Jesus said, and our Lord Jesus said, he said, my Father is the one that doeth the work. Which means every time Jesus laid hands and the person was healed, it wasn't Jesus. Jesus said, it is my Father. That means when Jesus touches you, it is God's hand inside his hands that was touching you. And that is the secret to operate in miracle ministry. So if I pray for you, I just know in my heart that the moment I touch you, it is no more my hands. The moment I say in the name of Jesus, Benga will step out of the way, Jesus will step in. That's the principle. So if you don't get healed, we now need to investigate. Why? The problem may not be the current that is coming. It may be the recipient. Say, show us the Father. And we'll be happy. Believe me, that statement Philip made, probably the disciples have been talking about it. Are you with me? Most likely, they've had that conversation. All those moments, Jesus will go and pray. And they are talking among themselves. Say, come. Let's talk about this thing. Me, I'm a Jewish man. No. I don't know how to hide my emotion. I will tell you. This miracle. Come, oh. Are we sure this man, before we go and die, Are we sure this man is the one we are expecting?
It's okay. When he comes, you use style and ask him. Then we'll support you. When you ask, we'll not talk, we'll be quiet. When he sees the way we are not talking, he will know, okay. These people, they have heard meeting.
Sometimes that's the way I read the Bible. I will see the video, the storyline. That's why I enjoy it. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen what? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Huh? That is a statement that you cannot make or claim if you are not God. Come on now. Then the writer of Hebrews came back, and the Bible tells us that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established. Which means that if there is any doctrine, if there's anything flying out there, like one, let me not call him idiot, who said that God is the first person to perform a tattoo. Yes, that's what me and my wife and my baby girl was watching yesterday. Say, God! The first tattoo artist. I say, wow. And people are shouting, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. For me, I was waiting for the scripture. And he now gave a scripture. Wow. Come on, say scripture. He gave a scripture. He said, when Jesus was crucified, he said God did not remove that when he rose, the scar was still there. I said, sir, if you were in English class long enough, you would have known there's a difference between a scar and a tattoo. When you hear some of this high-sounding nonsense, the moment you first hear it, it will tingle your ears. It feels good. The moment you now say, wait, apply scripture, it falls. That's why you need to know the Bible. Come on, are you with me? Because God is talking. And this is the reason why many of us cannot interact with the voice of God. Because of some of all these things, we have been wrongly taught and fed to the degree that by default, we will hear wrongly. He said, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, which means when God sends his word, it doesn't come back. Just like that. The word of God never proceeds from him without a target mission. There must be a purpose that must be accomplished. Which is why in the kingdom, overtaking is allowed. Which is why divine purposes can cross from one person to another. Which is why when God's word came, it found King Saul. And he was made the king of Israel. And when he became rejected, what did God say? He said, I have found another man, your neighbor. Did David live close to Saul's house? Please. Were they neighbors on the same street? One was a king, one was a shepherd boy. Yet when the word of the Lord came, he said that I have found a better person than yourself. Who is your neighbor? God referred to David as the neighbor of King Saul. Because the moment his head rejected that prophecy, the word that made him king lifted, started looking for another man. Listen to me, the day a man is rejected is not the day he will leave the seat. Saul remained there for 40 years. Yet, as far as the heavens were concerned, there was no king. The king was a shepherd boy with a guitar. That I fear God. You know, sometimes when I say I fear God, it's because of the way God thinks. Like in a nation like this, 200 million, God will say, when are we going to get a new president? They say, no, there's somebody there. I say, no, there's nobody. I'm not. Mike is there. So I say, no, Baba, there's nobody there. You want to say there's somebody there when the owner of the owner Gongon said there's nobody. But there's somebody on that seat. But God said there's nobody there. So it now depends on how are you seeing the matter. That if God says you are healed and delivered and you are married and you already have your set of twins, excuse me, who is right? I don't know if somebody just received something. I said, like, you are married, you have children. I saw your children this morning. I said, hey, Baba, you have started. Oh, say, whose report will you believe? It is
only when you understand this kind of scripture that you understand why God talks. God never talks from the position of your problem. He will never do it. It's against his nature. That so many years now. But you're supposed to have had a child. So what's happening? Is it that you are traveling? God will not be discussing it. He said, as the rain comes down, when my word comes down, come on, say word. When my word comes down, it does not return, but waters the earth. It goes to the earth, the person that that word has been sent to, and it begins to water the earth. Do you know what it means to water the earth? Oh, goodness. I wish somebody was listening to me now. Do you know watering the earth is not a one-second process? You have a garden. Or if you have your hose, watering a small garden can take as much as 30 minutes. God is watering your earth. Conditioning that ground for the kind of result he himself has seen. Which is why submitting yourself to the authority of God's word is a significant aspect of your destiny. Not just prayer alone. You can go online and be typing amen, 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 amen. And you still, because he said, even you don't have the scriptural background for what you are asking for. If the enemy says, oh, doctor says, oh, you cannot have a child, then you must go to the scripture and find where it was written, none shall be barren. So that is the position of heaven. None shall be barren. Do you want a child? Say yes. Baba, this is what you said. This is where I also stand. The doctors, the other disciples may be asking if I'm the son of God or not. They may be asking, is it ovarian cyst? Is it? But what you said that I heard, which doesn't always tally with what most people say, is that none shall be barren. When you decide to take your position beside what God has said, you will be the biggest fool of all time. Because the things you'll be believing for, you can't tell your neighbor. You don't look at it. We appreciate your spirituality. And we know, sister, I thank God for you. When they start saying things like that, what they are telling that we are not with you on this matter. Just God will help. Say, bro, say something. Mommy, say something. Then you now hear, actually, I think we should still go for some more tests. So, you know, all that, it's just noise of the market. Even the man doesn't believe that God spoke to you. But you are in the same prayer team. Are you here? It says, it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud. Can you see the process? So the thing we are talking about here is that we must sit under that watering. We must sit for, quite a bit of time, spend some time, and allow the word water. That means allow the word, give the word permission to impact you. Give the word of God the permission to influence you. Give the word of God the permission to alter the way you think. Because until your mind changes, God is not authorized. Until your mind on that matter changes in line with what God has said, God is not actually authorized to move in and solve that problem. Most of us want God to do it, then we believe. God said, no, you must change the way you think first. Do you know that Samuel anointed David to be king? David even fell under the anointing. Bible says David became another man. Did he become king that day? The man did not even see it. When Samuel left, what did David do? He went back to taking care of sheep. The man was not seeing it. Say, come on, take a double door. Power. Say, pick him up. Power. Holy Ghost. Power. Pick him up. Now, remove my jacket. Power. People not care. Brother David, congratulations. God bless you. You remember that thing we discussed last year? This is it. Say hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody that sees David that day will say, ah, finally, God, when will you remember me? David picked his bag. Instead of him to owe Samuel and say, I'll be following you. Was that not what Elisha did? Sharp guy. Your local economy can affect you. You just sit down in that place. Say, I'm in a Ugbomosho. See, because Elisha was a smart guy, he knew that there are some people you only meet once in your life. If you want to continue seeing them, you have to follow them. Are you listening? I said there are some people, you only gain access to them. So God will just arrange a meeting. If you don't collect their number that day or say something that is smart, you can't see them again. It's their secretary you'll be talking to. David just he's waiting to go and share the encounter in the fellowship on Friday that God's servant was here. Oga, your destiny is going. Elisha dropped, he's the owner of the company, of the farm, dropped everything and grabbed Elijah's hand. He did not even ask Elijah, sorry, who is older? Are you the one or am I the one? And Elijah said, "Why? What have I done to you? Don't be fool. See, I don't like publicity. Don't put me on Facebook." Say, "Sir, you think I'm joking?" Brought the ram, the biggest ram in their company, killed it. Say, "Sir, eat ram." Do you understand what Elisha did? That ram that he killed that day is what can make him change his mind. Is the fattest one. That one gives birth every year. The man said, "You think I'm playing with you? When you touched me, I felt something. I know what I felt." That thing said, "Follow him." Before Elijah came there, did God tell him to anoint Elisha? God told him. He said, "Go and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to stand in your place as prophet." Elijah came with the intention to take that man along. But when the man wanted to call, Elijah was saying, go back. It's a coincidence. Because there and there, Elijah was testing that man's heart. They anointed you. You went back to the forest singing psalms. It took that man several years. And even the prophecy to be king was not fulfilled immediately. He first became king over, he became king over bandits and thieves. And frustrated people. When those ones wanted to kill him, he encouraged himself in the Lord and moved forward. Then, God will allow tribulation. When he sees that you are not listening to him, he will allow the things you think are your security to begin to fail. Then you will now wake up and begin to move. Then when that happens, you become king of Judah. Then after that, you become king of Israel. The prophecy was for him to be king of Israel. Look at how many years it took him. Because God will not do anything in your life until your mind agrees with him. So I have about 7 scriptures. Unfortunately, my time is up. I've not entered this message. But I hope you are blessed. Did you learn anything? I play. In John chapter 8 and verse 28, Jesus said, "But he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I do the things that please him always." John 8:29. He who sent me. This scripture really blessed me, because sometimes it's very easy to feel alone. But when you read a scripture like this, you realize that you are actually sent. And that you are not alone. You are not alone because there's a sound from the keyboard. You are not alone because the one who sent you is with you. In that Bible verse that we read, in just do a brief summary. Maybe if... Are we starting services this week? On Wednesday? Please, I want to encourage you. Show genuine interest in the word. Don't study the Bible with the intention to look for Rema or Rev or something smart. A lot of the people I know, you can lose your appetite for God's word like this. Like this, quickly. You now realize that the book is now open in front of you. But there is no desire to even look inside of it. So you just read, look for one short chapter. Just read, read. Pew, you are done. You need to pray for the spirit of understanding. And a desire for spiritual things. So that you can do these things not as being mechanical. But because you love God. If you don't love God, you can't stay with spiritual disciplines. In the story that we read, that Pastor Kenny read to us, please give me that scripture. I think that's 2 Kings chapter 3. Let me skip a few things. Let's start from verse 15. Because I think part of the challenge is, how do I know, or what are the things I can do to trigger the voice of God? Now, let me tell you this up front. If you don't give yourself to God's presence, instead of trying to hear God's voice, what you should be doing is giving yourself to God's presence. Some people try so hard, and that's why they hear wrongly, even though what they are hearing is scripture. You can hear God, you can hear scripture being given to you, but it's not God talking to you. How do you know that it's not God, despite the fact that what you heard is real? It's like not anti-scripture. When you spend a lot of time in God's presence, after some time, you get used to the atmosphere of that place, that environment. When something foreign that is not part of that natural element comes into your space, you are able to pick it out. Has the Lord ever spoken to you and you felt like, no, you wanted to cross-check? You wanted to double-check? Have you ever had that thing before? Like God spoke to you, you just felt like, wait. Okay, if you have ever prophesied in a meeting or you gave a word in a meeting, but you were now, when they were asking, who has a word? You are trying to double check to be sure that it's not you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's because when you live under a particular atmosphere, if something is introduced and you are not too certain, you probably want to wait and check. In this particular case for Elisha, Elisha could not even perceive anything. Please give me verse 15. Now, one of the reasons why this man could not perceive, let me tell you, is that he had just experienced a fit of anger. Hello? Hello, please, are you with me? Elisha, the man with the double portion of the spirit. Some people spend their time arguing whether it's double portion of anointing or double portion of spirit. That's not my concern. He had double, sha. And I will come one day and explain that one. And I think I've actually taught on it before. The man just lost his temper. If you read the two verses before, he was angry and said, I don't want to see this king. So in a nutshell, anger disconnects you immediately. So please take that one anywhere, type it on Microsoft Word, and paste it on your bathroom door when you get home. That unhealthy emotions can disconnect you from knowing or discerning God's voice. It is just because it is your right to be angry does not mean you should allow it. I know we all get angry. I'm just telling you what is going on. So when you choose to not to be angry, you are not a fool. You know what you are doing. Because you cannot afford to lose sight of that voice, especially when you need it the most. Satan will not tell you, don't sin against God. He will be pushing you till you lose your temper. His own is that he knows that if you are not as anointed as Elisha, he doesn't even need to push you too far. Here is Elisha with the anointing that can win a battle without lifting a sword. But because he lost his temper, he was disconnected. So he said to them, he said, after being angry, he said, you know what? I'm tired of you people. Get me a musician. So in a typical 21st century, 2023, what this man would have done is, after raking and raking, he would just say, and the lebakaraba, the sabadabalaba shaba, zabrabadabadabra. I'm not you. Kabababababa, sateka! Then he would jump. Then squint his face to make it look like he sees something in this. Then his boy said, Pastor, what's going on? He said, I don't hear anything. What will you tell all these people? Let me try again. Lift up your right hands. Let the lifting of your voice be as a sacrifice. I'm telling you the things you do. When you say you are fasting for 10 days, you came and say, Pastor, I prayed, nothing happened. I'm telling you what you are doing. It's just that this is my own way of doing, but you know what you do. You now go on YouTube, play one song by Orenze. You play a song, you now be trying to gyrate, or you listen to some of those songs. You want to just whine. You want to whine that thing. You want to prime it. And those things are good. Except that, sir, we need to address the first thing. You have been disconnected. If a man of the double portion can be disconnected, okay, honestly, can you claim to have double portion? You. Can you see the problem? Your situation is even worse. See, let me tell you, the first key to reconnecting is not even the singing. It's to be as a child. To know that you are helpless except you are guided. You are helpless except you are guided. These children, recently, but somewhere, because Jesus said, he that sent me is with him and has not left me alone. So even as you are praying, you are fasting, you are doing all those things, in your mind, all you are saying is, Lord, I'm dependent on you. If you don't do anything, I'm lost. If you don't help me, all this prayer is banza. There's nothing. It's not by screaming and squinting your face and threatening people that you prayed for 7 hours. Those things are good, but if you are not guided, you don't know the way. You have to be guided. You think, yes, you know some things, but you have to be guided. And being guided is not just about the right thing to do, it's about the timing. Because it may be right, but it may not be the time. Are you with me here? It may be right, but it may not be the time. So you must wait for your father to say, now, this is your moment. This is your moment. You have to be like a little child. You must understand that what this man did here was not necessarily about the song, but about his dependence on the Holy Spirit. So that man said to them, he said, bring me a minister, a musician. Then it happened that as he was playing and they were singing a song, maybe they were singing, I will arise, arise, delight myself in the Lord, and he will give me all my desire. It is a moment where you know that, see, even if you do everything and God refuses to talk, you can't force him. Are you with me? There's nothing you can do. So the man just sits there. It's not. We are not trying to pray again. We are yielding. I say we are not trying to pray. We are what? We are yielding to the Holy Spirit. So your song is flowing from that place. And let me tell you, God help me can be one of the most powerful prayers in your life. God help me. Shortest prayer in the office, but it can be very significant. Something is going to just say, Ah, Lord help me. Lord have mercy. Lord help me. You, it's not until you say in Jesus' name, before God will hear you. Because some people now, they are very religious. It is the spirit that is in you that will respond, which is the spirit of Christ. Ha! Ah, God help me. What will I do? God help me. The moment you register that thing, heavens will start moving. So don't be religious. Ask for help. That man could not hear God even though he was anointed. And then he asked for a ministry, a musician. All right? So if you claim to be a music minister, your ministry must bring forth the hand of God. This is my quarrel with all the people who say they are singing in Nigeria and dancing beside vehicles and flowers and all those things. This is the only quarrel I have with them. Because your song is scintillating and I will move our body. But your song is only good for me when I don't have problem. You are not better than Ayefele. There's one Hausa man we used to listen to in Bauchi. Then they were very popular Hausa musician. Dan Maria is not better than the which is a local guitar. Tang 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 ching chang 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 chang. With his boys, his goons, they will just sit down like that, and they on Bauchi television they can play that thing for 1 hour. Bauchi television, you just like, don't they have cartoons? Don't they have it? Some of you have never been to the North. They will just arrange like that. Chang chang. They have this special guitar like that. Do they still have those things? You just all of them. They don't care whether you like them or not, but you must listen. Once you're on this TV, you must hear this music. For those of you that are not proud of your village, hear now and learn. The Bible says that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Verse 16. And he said, did the scripture tell us when God spoke to him? Hello? This scripture, when the worship was introduced, I'm telling you this, that when you go back to your house tomorrow and you say you want to worship God and you want to spend time in God's presence, I want you to understand that we may be listening to the same songs, but we are getting different things out of it. The guy didn't say, oh, God is about to talk. He gave it as a matter of instruction. He said, thus saith the Lord. Oh, glory. God speak to me. God speak to me. There is something about a thus saith the Lord that knocks out every other calculations. He knocks it out. Because God can say something to you 5 years, and the Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. Who is doing the watching? God! Because he said it. God says something to you, he himself is now watching over it. Stay in the center. 6 months. 6 months to go. God is watching what he said. Because he knows that the affliction will arise for the word's sake. That even when God has spoken, Satan will be trying to either take the word away or take you away from the word. Bless you. Satan knows that just because God said it doesn't mean you should sleep. Because if Satan can't stop the word, he will stop you. And he can do it with offense. So God begins to watch over his word. That's why you notice that sometimes, even when you are living in sin, it's like the prophecy is still happening. Because God has calculated everything. He doesn't approve of your sin, but he has made provision for your restoration. Meanwhile, this intention, this thing he said 5 years ago, is coming to pass. There's nothing. God, the day God begins to speak and his word fails, he will not be qualified to be God again. That's the edge he has. That when he speaks, nobody can override it. Nobody is the one that can override himself. He said to this king, say you will die. Same day, when by say, I give you 15 years. If you like, say it's false prophecy. I have spoken. Thus saith the Lord is the most powerful gift you can have. Oh! Oh! Oh, God. Thus saith the Lord. Give me that scripture. He said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley, oh my God, full of ditches. The valley is already deep enough. God said, dig deeper. The problem looks to be bad enough. God said, dig deeper. I want to do something. If we operate from here, people will think it's a mistake. Dig deeper. When I move, it's not a mistake. It's calculated. He said, make the valley. Do you know how deep it is? For something to be called a valley, do you know how deep it is? In between two mountains. So the valley is obvious. It's carved out. You can't do anything about it. God said, dig deeper. He said, make the valley full of ditches. Go ahead. And this is not just one ditch. There are many of them. How do you make your ditches today? In the place of your knees. In the place of your knees where you insist and you say, Father, this is what you said. You said I should not leave this place. It's just like the Lord saying to Isaac, do not leave this land. And Isaac sowed in the land and reaped the hundredfold. God, you told me not to leave this place yet. So as you begin to insist on the word, you are digging ditches. You are digging ditches. It will not be obvious because you will not know what God will do. The only thing you know is that God said, make ditches. Go for that certification. Make ditches. Write that masters. Make that ditch. Go train. Go do this on Coursera. And you go take this training. Go learn this key. You will never know. God will never tell you what he will do with that thing. He will be watching you. If the Israelites have refused that day to make ditches, say, Oga, we don't have so many hands. Making ditches will deplete our strength. Game over. Make ditches. Wake up 12 a.m. for the next 14 days. And let me hear your voice of praise for 1 hour. Make ditches. You prefer to talk to God about the problem because you think you have something you want to say. God said, don't talk about the problem. Come and praise me. When God speaks, it never makes sense. If it makes sense, it's not God. Because God will use the stupid things of this world to confound the wise. God will never tell you to do something that makes sense. God is the only one who, when he knows you are broke, will ask you for the last 5 naira. He knows you are broke. He will not say, I want to drink pure water. You have 5 naira. He say, that one, bring it. Say, it's torn. He say, bring it. Then he gives it to a man who has more than enough. I don't understand this. Since I became a Christian, they are always, God is always give. Hey, 7 days that do not, that the little he has shall be taken. I hope it's not me this scripture is talking to. We don't know him. God who looked at the whole world and saw that the error caused by Adam could only be corrected by his son. The first error was committed by his son. The error will be fixed by another son. And God didn't just say, oh, because he doesn't want his son to die. From today, oh, anybody that believes in me, oh, shall be saved. Oh. No, it required a sacrifice. And God could not even say this would be the outcome. It depended on the integrity and the wisdom of his own son to stay aligned. And that's why Jesus was tested in the wilderness. If Jesus had failed there, game over. Because there's no other son. If Jesus failed that day and turned the stone to bread or broke the fast by 12. The pastor said you should do fruit fast. Are you the one I'm talking to? Have you ever broken your fast? Now I realize that it actually wasn't worth it. Like, you now feel, My time is up here. Say, make ditches. You will keep making them until it tells you to stop. Next verse. For thus saith the Lord. Now, this thus saith the Lord will be coming as you are obeying. For thus saith the Lord, verse 17. You shall not see the wind, nor shall you see the rain. God is telling what I want to do for you now will be beyond the forces of nature. I will promote you even though there's no promotion season in front in your office. I will raise a banner over you. Even when nobody is even looking in that direction. I will make a way where there is no way. Simply because I am God. Not because the engineers want to create a road there. Say you shall not see the wind. What I want to do in your life will not respond to what people normally expect. Oh, it's promotion time. It's appraiser time. Oh, this is, I can move you from zero to $5,000 in 1 month. It doesn't cost him anything. Just obey me. Follow me. Follow me. I know the way. If you have ever depended on God and he brought you from zero to say $5,000 per month, will you ever take a major step without asking him again? Why is it that Christians of all people struggle with the mind of God? Because they have never seen the value. Never. Never. Why are the people will be telling you, it's good to pray, but you know, me, I'm not claiming to be spiritual. I just use my two eyes. God says, if you use your two eyes, you will see rain. And because now no rain, we are not in the season for rain. So you will have to wait like others. There won't be wind. So if you want to wait for wind, okay, go and wait. You want to queue, Abby? Go and queue. You can either prosper by favor or by labor. You will choose one. He said, but yet, this valley, where do you think the water will flow into? Into the ditches. The ditches that you have created. The ditches that when you are laboring, people are asking, this thing is not hard. God is not hard like this. So. God is not hard like this. So. As you have seen, when I pray 5 minutes, God will hear me. Oh, saketaba. You have not known that the doors of destiny don't open like that. Small doors can open. But you see, doors of destiny. Paul said, the door was open, but there were many adversaries. Any door of destiny, you will see opposition. You will see delay there. Paul asked for prayers from his own church members. Please be praying for me. Oh. Though today, nobody prays for pastor. It's pastor that will pray for everybody. But Paul saw an opportunity and he said, this one, if I pray to take a longer time, let everybody pray. So if you're a lone ranger, how long will it take you? If you say you don't have a prayer partner, I ask you now, how long will it take you to open this door? When Paul said there was a particular door that required the collaboration of everybody. I saw God in my house. I joined online. How will you open this door? The waters will flow into the ditches. Huh? It's just like Elisha saying to that woman, go and get vessels. So the supply will only flow to the degree of the vessels you have brought. It's not the anointing that is limited. Oh, it's not the power of God that is tired or not or impotent. It is the vessels. How much can you get? How much can you bring? How much can you dig? Are you still claiming you cannot dig? Are you still saying you are tired? You prayed for 3 months. You said you are tired. Look at what God wants to do. He wants to win a battle without you firing one arrow. And you said you are tired. Why are believers always filled with excuses of why they cannot pray? Oh, I'm tired. He said, yet that valley shall be filled with water so that your cattle and your animals may drink. Listen. Everything about your cattle there signifies your business. Because in those days, cattle were used for business. You can power your career, your business from your altar. You can power it. People will never know why you are getting the results you are getting. They will never know. Because everybody is going to church, but not everybody is making ditches. To make ditches, you must decide that, okay, so time, this is how I want to do it. It's better for you to be digging ditches 30 minutes every day. 30 minutes every day and continue consistently. Because the key we are looking at here is, can you do it consistently? Not that you did it one day and then you came back 3 months later.
You are supposed to fast for 3 months. You didn't fast. That 3 months has come and gone. You are in the 50th month now. I was listening to God's servant Apostle Arumi, and he made a statement. So he was going through a phase in his life. And then he decided that he realized that he didn't know God. He said he came to the conclusion that he didn't know God. And that where he was in his life, he needed to make some difficult decisions. So he decided to wait upon the Lord. And he thought it would be like just a month or two. First month, second month, third month, he was fasting. The one that we did for 21, some people were praying, binding me, that I will not, pastor will not extend this fast. And God has heard your prayer. If you are in that category, God has, the fasting is over now. At least you binded me successfully. The man hit the third month, fifth month. He said an angel started coming through the walls. Four angels, they will come into his room, stay with him for 4 days. He won't be able to go out. He said that room had no mosquito net. But because of the presence of those angels, the mosquitoes could not come in. Say, those are the best moments in that room. Because, you know, there's one thing to be praying and be trying to annihilate and destroy mosquitoes. See, it was a very powerful moment where they sat with him, four angels giving him instruction about what his life will look like. He said, by the time he hit the 8th month, say Jesus came. 8 months. Did God tell him he should wait for 8 months? Do you know he could have stopped after 1 month? Then he will come and say, pastor, but I fasted. I have not been seeing anything. Hey, you will dig ditches. You will dig ditches. You will tell yourself, either me or Satan will die here today. I'm not. Hey! For the sake of my family, I will stay here until we get the evidence that this matter has been resolved. I don't want my children to fight this battle. If you keep making excuses, and you say because you fast, 21 days is the beginning of the fast. Come on, tell your neighbor, make ditches. See, let me tell you. Go back and pick your Bible. If the only Bible you have is the one on your phone, go and buy a Bible this week. And buy a marker or an highlighter. Get a note for your Bible study. Please, are you listening to me? If you don't have a Bible, if the only Bible you have is the one you downloaded, go and buy a Bible today. Then if you have an iPad, tablet, from whatever company, including those ones made by China, delete Facebook and Instagram from it. And TikTok. Say amen. It's part of making ditches. When you make ditches, you have to dress light so you can dig. Whatever represents the core instrument you use for your Bible study, don't put anything social media on it. Maybe except your email. Allow yourself. You cannot do study, serious study, without being distracted. Some people are anointed. Me, I don't know how to do it. Get your Bible. Get the one that has very bold print. You can read it any time of the night. You can use candle. You can use anything. Don't let Satan take out your light. Don't let him snuff out your light. Let there be a revival of Bible reading, Bible study, and doctrinal teaching. So that one man won't come to you because you follow them to do Thanksgiving in their church. You'll be giving you prophecy that has no bearing. I'll be asking you, am I right? Yeah, if you know my phone number, so what? In fact, I've changed the number now. Sir, you are wrong. What does it mean nothing? The essence of the prophetic is not just to be accurate in what you say. It's to be able to speak and it happens. When you talk, and the Lord said the words of Samuel did not fall to the ground. Like the lady that I ministered to, she was diagnosed with lupus. Do you know what lupus is? Femi, do you know lupus? You are a scientist. How did they say it now? Autoimmune. It's fighting your own, yourself, fighting your cells, fighting your organs. So the system put in your body by God that was meant to defend your body is now fighting you.
I don't think I have, and that's the only prayer, as far as ministry is concerned, is for me to be able to pray and God hears. It makes the problem very easy. And many times, there are always reasons why God does not respond as soon as possible. And that's why I said, we now need to investigate. Things like unforgiveness. Justified unforgiveness. Because sometimes, actually, you have been wronged. Eh? But God says, this is, you are keeping a Scott missile in your bedroom. A Scott missile, which means if anybody shoots into your room, a small bullet, everybody in that room goes kaboom. So just because you are justified does not mean you should keep it. It's not yours. Because unforgiveness is the only sin, or one of the only sins that Jesus told us has the capacity to hinder your prayers and send you to hell. Yes. But whatever can stop your prayer can send you to hell. I'll take this further. But please, permit me to tell you. Today is the beginning of that day you begin to prioritize the voice of the Lord. If peradventure God is not speaking to you, maybe it's because he knows you have no place for his word in your life. How dare you ask for a prophetic word if you are not a lover of scripture? How dare you? If that which is written and determined, you do not embrace it, how dare you think a prophetic word will solve your problem? That book is tested. Jesus, his real name is the Word. His own real name is the Word. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word. How can you not love his words? How can the words of Jesus in the Gospels be strange to you? Even if those are the things you just read through, they are such a blessing because they just give you a perspective to how God thinks. All these ungodly people on Facebook and on social media are saying rubbish. Is it not because they've not read what Jesus said? Because you're a stranger. One guy said, don't be a stranger. I said, I'm a stranger. I'm a stranger. They came to Jesus and they said, oh, there's one man is casting out devils. Oh, there's one man is doing this. He refused to follow. Jesus said, leave him. Leave him. Since when did Facebook become the official ground for resolving church issues? Since when? Because we have people who are not pastored, who are not discipled, who don't know the ways of God, who have no regard for anybody. Their fingers are swift to shed blood. I know you said that was in the book of Psalms, but when you type, are you not destroying somebody's character? Say your fingers are swift to shed blood. That's you. The Lord will never allow anything that pertains to his house to be discussed and agreed on in a public space. He will not. And if you do it, it's because you are do you know you can be living in sin and God will be chastising you, but he will not tell the next person? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? You might have done something and the pastor will come and say, I see a new season upon you. You in your mind like, hey, Pastor Gwinga. Hey! I was at Chike's house yesterday. Pastor Gwinga said, Need to start suspecting this pastor. How come he did not see the sin? Would you have preferred I talked about it? That's how private God can be. God does not bring a sin out until there is consistent rebellion. He does not. So it's not that thing you are doing that God is not. He knows you and he's watching you. But he's hoping that you can change your mind and stop. God did not bring out the sons of Eli until their rebellion became uncontrollable and God killed them. As an example, who tell you God does not kill? He kills for a living. But you know, he gave them the chance to repent, even though they were pastors, the sons of Eli. But they did not repent. And the father too could not control them. It's just like me now. I can't talk to Pastor David now because Pastor David is a major financier of the gospel. So I don't want to offend him. So you have to beg Pastor David. But really, we have those kind of situations where there are people in church that nobody can talk to. Because they are very big. They are close to pastor. Isn't it amazing that when God wanted to judge those boys, the sons of Eli, he didn't talk to them again. He spoke to a smaller person. And they only watched him act. They died in battle, same day. The same deliverance they used to do for others that God was hearing. They went to battle that day, they didn't come back. Let's watch out for each other. In those days when we were still younger Christians and all, once we greet ourselves, we ask, how's your spiritual life? That's the next question. So even if you are fornicating doing your long vac, before you come back, 2 weeks before you come back, arrange yourself. Nobody wants to, because once they say, you ask your spiritual, if you take 2 seconds to answer, I say, come and sit down. Then they will start Bible study with you. They know something is wrong. But when I see you and I say, oh, Brother Humphrey, God bless you, I missed you. It's sometimes when Augie will begin to speak in tongues. Ah, Brother Humphrey, you know I was in your city, you know, do you know, remember Brother Marcus? Yes, you know he has been sent as a minister too. We just start talking spiritual things. Say, come. I heard Brother Tunde, sir. We'll go and look for Brother Tunde. The moment they see you, say, Brother Marcus, how's your spirituality? Come and sit down. Before we see Brother Tunde, let's do Bible study. God, we must pray for you immediately. It has nothing to do whether you are the president or the. If you cannot answer immediately, and if you fake it, we'll get you. God has something to say. It's not anything to be proud of. Actually, it is a sign that you are on red alert. When you have no desire for the word of God, and you can live without it, whether by reason of consistent meditation when you are at work or you are outside, not just the reading, but consistent meditation. How you will know the word of God has not taken root in your life is when you are able to make a significant decision based on the authority of God's word, which is written. Eh? Not necessarily on what people think you should do. When the word of God becomes the primary determinant of how you respond to any situation, then you know that the word of God has found a place in your heart. Hallelujah. Your word. La 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 la.